the GP Plus Careers Podcast.
Are you a GP hoping to diversify your career? Perhaps you've got a passion for women's health or have ambitions to be an expedition GP. Or maybe you've just always wondered, what would it be like to be a GP working in a prison? Well, this will hopefully be the podcast for you. My name's Sophie Lumley. I'm a First 5 GP in the West Midlands and also a training programme director. I certainly fell into the above category, and I was keen to start this podcast to find out about the breadth of career options available to me, my colleagues and my trainees. I've been lucky enough to interview fellow GPs who've had some of these extra roles. They've told me what their role involves, how they got there, and the tips and advice that they have for those hoping to follow in their footsteps. I really hope you enjoy listening and feel as inspired as I have in speaking to them. So I'm really pleased today to be joined by Aisha Mahmood, who is a GP with a special interest in learning disabilities. So over to you, Aisha. Can you just tell us a little bit about what you do and how your learning disabilities part of your job fits into your GP life?
I'm a GP in Coventry, and I CCT just over 5 years ago, so no longer a first five. But we have a quite a robust a middle career GP group, which I've joined now. So that's where I am from the progression point of view of my career. My area of special interest is learning disabilities. I have my week, you can see that is spread across a few different roles. And the underlying theme within them has been learning disabilities and my interest in it. So 4 sessions I do as a salaried GP, and that's my clinical work at Surgery in Coventry, and there I lead on learning disabilities. I carry out annual health checks. Our surgery was awarded a learning disability friendly practice award recently. That's a scheme which I've been involved in as well, so we were very proud to have it. So that's my work in there. And then I'm a TPD in Black Country, and that gave me an opportunity. I know, Sophie, you're a TPD as well. So you do get an opportunity to influence a bit what is happening in the VTS. But I was also lucky enough that in Black Country, there was this pilot was starting around blended learning. So along with another colleague, Dr. Mehvi Sharif, I co-produced, curated a module around learning disability and autism. Another role of mine has been around I'm a faculty education lead for our CGP Midland faculty. That has also given me an opportunity to look into arranging some sessions around learning disabilities. I was a part of the a webinar series around special education needs, as well as doing some sessions on neurodiversity as well, which I've also involved in my TPD role. Finally, there's another role which I've recently started, which is with the ICB, which is for learning disability and autism. So I'm a part of the leader governance group. I sit on that board and providing a GP voice on these issues.
Wow, fantastic. So you've got a really varied week, but really nice that you've got that theme of learning disabilities that runs really through the heart of it all and linking it all up. So just to pick up on a couple of things you mentioned there, you mentioned your practice has a learning disability friendliness award. Can you tell us a bit more about that? What does that mean?
This is something which is been which has been launched in Coventry in Warwickshire last year. And I was involved from the very start. What happened was that Coventry and Warwickshire were identified as the lowest in the country for uptake of annual health checks for people with learning disability and autism. One of my colleagues here, Dr. Maisoon Al-Fatisi, she was doing a fellowship at that time. And part of her fellowship was in deprivation with the peer health, and there she was part of that project. There was a concentrated effort. It was turned around, and Coventry and Warwickshire are now in the top in the country now, which is amazing. However, at that time, it was felt, a few of the like-minded people got together and felt that it shouldn't just be a tick box, or oh, we have done annual health check. It should be more holistic. And here's this patient group who needs not just an annual health check, but at every contact, there should be an awareness around it. So the ideal was to develop a kite mark standard, a bit like veteran-friendly practice. That was the idea. So it was there were a few of us GPs in that group. And then there's a charity in Coventry and Warwickshire, which is called Grapevine. They work with people with learning disabilities, and they have their representative was there, and also through them we had experts by experience, and of course people from CCG, and then it became an ICB. So all of us, over a couple of years, we sort of narrowed it down to some standards. And then my surgery was one of the pilot surgeries, and we looked into it, because as we all know, we are like just drowning in work in primary care, and no one wants another new thing, oh, another tick box. So we wanted things to be not add to the work, but help streamline it, find out areas which need more work, so that we are able to provide better care for patients with learning disability. So that's what we have come to. And it was launched last year, as I said. My surgery also applied. We were delighted. We were awarded that badge. And that is not the end of it. It doesn't mean that, oh, we've got it and that's it. It means every 6 months, because we were given the award, but there were some areas which were identified which needed improvement. And I've just had an email saying, so how's that going? So that's part of that. And since I've started with the ICB in my role, so I'm now looking at it from the other perspective as well, because that badge, surgeries applied to be awarded that badge. And then every quarter there is a meeting. And again, multidisciplinary team, again, experts by experience are part of it, because this is what we felt is most important. Let's not decide on actions and things which involve a population group without asking them their opinion, so they're part of it. So that's what the project is all about.
Wow, that sounds like a really worthwhile project, and I suppose really interesting for you to see it from both sides of the awarding process. Just asking more about your ICB role, you said you're sort of feeding in a degree of expertise around learning disabilities into clinical decision making. Can you give us an example of what sort of activities that might involve for those who might not know much about how the ICB itself works?
When the rule came up for ICB, I applied for it, but once you start working in a role, then you realize what actually goes on. And it's been a learning curve, and I'm still learning. It's only been a few months in that. There are two parts of it. One is basically, which is the leader governance group. And leader starts, for those who don't know, is learning from the lives and deaths of people with learning disability and or autism. So that's what the leader stands for. That is something any person who's got a learning disability or autism, if they sadly pass away, there is a group who are leader reviewers. They go through the whole process about the type of care that person received, were there any things which could be improved? And that's what both primary and secondary care. And these reports are part of that leader governance group. They are presented, and then there are people there from social care, there are people on the ICB from council, there are people from secondary care, learning disability nurses might be there. So all of us, and now there are two GPs, one myself from Coventry, and there's another very experienced GP from Warwickshire who is sitting there. So we talk about it, we go through it. But apart from that, there are other things as well. For example, they're currently working on a pneumococcal vaccination uptake. As we know that a pneumococcal vaccination is, there are very specific criteria, your age, or there are certain vulnerabilities. But someone picked up that in the latest guidance, learning disabilities also mentioned. So there are things like that. Of course, as everyone is giving their suggestions or opinions, we are able to talk about it from a GP surgery, a busy practice point of view as well. What will work, what will not work. And it's just an opportunity to be there, not just on giving my insight from a point of view from what a GP would want, but also it's an opportunity for me to understand and learn what is happening there and what others are thinking, and have a bit of more of a joined up thinking. That's what I think our ICB's strength is, really working, if you ever get the opportunity to work in that role.
Oh, that's great to hear. I suppose an advert for working in that sort of commissioning side of things as well, and making sure things are joined up, and that your clinical insight is taken seriously and inputted into that's really interesting to hear, Aisha. And it sounds like you've crafted yourself a really sort of multifaceted week of different bits of learning disabilities expertise combined with your clinical role. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. I'd be really interested to hear how you got into it all. You clearly have a very strong interest in learning disabilities. How's your career journey taken you to this sort of four-pronged week in different aspects of learning disability care?
My background is in surgery, and so that was very clear for me. As I was about to CCT, I was sure that that's what will be my area of specialist interest. Just before that, I did a course on joint injections and minor ops, all of that. I was ready in my interview, even I remember talking about it, and the partners were very receptive. They said, yes, why not? And then I just never got around to doing it. I guess the reason how I developed this interest is personal. I'm a parent of someone with additional needs. My daughter has got Down syndrome. And when you have a child with special needs, that's not something you ever planned for. But of course, when you're in that situation, you just deal with it and you get on with it. But because of her, I've been on the other side of the NHS, and her care has been excellent for the most part. But there have been times where you feel maybe this can be done a little bit better. And of course, I felt always that I can be a good advocate for her, being from the same profession. I can speak the language, I understand it. But there are other parents. I see them, you talk to them, and they're struggling a bit, and you realize, this is not how it should be. Maybe this can be done like this. And that's how I think that my personal need or situation is basically translated into my specialist interest or a professional interest. And that, I think, drives my passion to improve the healthcare for people with learning disabilities. As you know, that health inequality is a big issue with RCGP. There's one of the themes which RCGP as a collectively is working on, and learning disability does lead to health inequality, so it sort of ties in with that as well. And the beauty of being a GP is whatever your area of interest, there's a place in general practice for it. So as I started working as a GP, I realized that my practice doesn't do annual health checks, and I was given the opportunity when I was training. And then apart from that, I realized I really don't know much about what I should be doing. There's a one day essentials conferences which RCGP does for different topics. They organize them, and one of them is around learning disability. And there used to be a charge for them, but recently they've been made free for the members. So I would highly recommend, whatever your area of interest is, if there is a one day essentials for that, please do book yourself for it. That's what I did. And when I joined it, of course, I learned a lot. But there was another thing which I found out. I found out that there's a special interest group for learning disabilities and autism. So I requested to join it. When I joined it, I found out they have a very active WhatsApp group. They're really superbly experienced GPs on there, and you can ask any question and they'll help you. They hold quarterly meetings. So I started attending them, and they're on Teams, so easy to attend. You can attend and learn and listen to different speakers. So that's what I did, and that gave me the confidence. And I just took this issue to my practice and said, "You're not offering anything." And they asked me to take a lead on it, and that's how it started. And then even from there, when there was discussion in PCN about it, I was sent as a, "Oh, why don't you go?" And there, it was picked on that I've got a passion for this. "Oh, you seem very interested." And I was asked to lead briefly with the PCN as well on this population group. So that's how it started. And somehow I never got around to doing my minor ops or injections, because this is what I've been doing. And I think whatever I'm doing, as I said, medical education or my clinical work, there's something always there which needs doing.
That's a really interesting story, actually. An example of how you can change direction in GP and how following your passions, but also the opportunities and sort of stepping stones, one thing to another, can really help you formulate what your special interest might be. You mentioned a couple of things there, the special interest group and one day essentials, which are really helpful advice for people to look out for, depending on what their interests are, and useful to know that they're there for learning disabilities. Have you got any other thoughts on specific requirements, skills, experiences, courses, things that people should look to do if they want to develop an interest in learning disabilities?
The thing about being a GP is that you really just need to have an interest in it, and there'll always be like-minded people wherever you're working. They might be within your practice or within the LMC or whatever your networking hub is. A lot of areas now have hubs as well. So these are the places to look out for. And as I said before, that if someone is really interested, they're welcome to join the special interest group. The email is there on the RCGP website around that. And Dr. Lindsay, who leads on, who's a contact person, he's very welcoming. And that person can join the group and, of course, ask any question as they want. Apart from that, if there's also, I think it's been 2 years now, Edge Hill University is offering 1 year part-time PG cert in learning disabilities. So that is something, and I believe there's a bit of funding available as well, although for this year they're closed. But if someone is interested in working on this subject, or they have got a bit of funding, maybe from their fellowship, that is something which they can look into. The great thing is that a lot of GPs who are now CCT, a lot of places offer fellowships. And if this is your area of interest, that is something you can definitely look into and to base your project, whatever you're working on, around learning disabilities and autism, and take it from there.
Great. And sort of thinking about funding, because you brought it up there, and thinking the first five GPs that whilst the fellowship looks like it might be on hold at the minute, usually there's another iteration that comes round. So that sort of new to practice fellowship type scheme can be helpful to fund these opportunities. Just thinking about other sort of funding opportunities, particularly if people are mid-career or a bit further on in their GP career and then want to develop an interest. You've obviously got your ICB role. Do you get a sense that there are funding opportunities for people to develop an interest or clinical expertise in learning disabilities in other areas? It sounds like you're quite lucky, Covent Warwick, having started at a point where they weren't that into it, have clearly been very supportive. If people were looking for funding opportunities to help develop their interest, have you got any other thoughts about where they could look?
I feel that every area is slightly different, and it's just about finding like-minded people and taking guidance from there. And it, as I said, learning disability sits within health inequality. So it can always be linked in with whatever you are doing. If it's around health inequality, because that does attract a lot of interest and funding in every area. And we have to always remember about the intersectional component. It's not just about health inequality in certain population groups. It's like someone who's got a learning disability, their health inequality is apparent. For example, their health outcomes, their life expectancy is much lower than general population. But if you bring in, for example, belonging to a minority ethnic group, the outcomes can worsen. So that's what I'm trying to say, is whatever your work is or your pot of funding which you can access, if it's around health inequality, but your main area of interest is learning disability, that can be linked to it quite easily.
I think that's really helpful, is encouraging people to think strategically. Is it might not be that there's a nice little pot of funding exactly saying what it is you want to do, labelled with your name on it, but actually if you're a bit sort of creative and think outside of the box and link it with other strategic aims and priorities organisations have, then you can access funding to support these sorts of very useful, beneficial projects.
Putting yourself out there, showing an interest, there is always something which can be done in general practice. I strongly believe in that.
You've clearly benefited enormously from this interest and your family and certainly your work colleagues, I'm sure, are in sitting there extremely grateful that you've landed in their practice and in their ICB. What for you are the main benefits of your interest in learning disabilities?
The main benefit is, as I've been talking about it so far, is that having the ability or having the opportunity, I would say, to be an advocate for this population group who are not always able to speak for themselves and their carers. And I feel that, of course, the aim is to reduce the health inequality, but I feel that overall, even if I can make a little difference, that's so rewarding. If we are able to provide reasonable adjustments for our patients, or my practice staff are aware of this term now because we have organized some training for them, or we have a learning disability champion in the reception within our team, and we meet up every month and we look at little things which we can do to improve. Like, for example, in our practice, there's an alert which comes up for all our patients on learning disability register that this patient has got a learning disability. And that means that reception are also immediately aware that they have made the effort to call. They might need more time. They might need a double appointment. And if they can't offer them anything, at least they can look into it, maybe send a message to me. So these are the little things. They're so incredibly rewarding for me personally that I feel that it's worth my effort and time.
Thinking about that, it's sort of your work and your effort and time. Obviously, you're putting a huge amount of workload into this this interest. Are there any downsides for you, or things that you think is worth people being aware of before they embark on this journey?
I guess, like with anything in today's busy life, it's incredibly important to set your boundaries and learn to say no. Because I remember when I first joined the special interest group and I'd logged into a meeting quite early, very keen. And our chair, she's now a retired GP, Dr. Kirsten Lamb. She was there and she started chatting to me and she said, "Oh, where are you in the country? Do you have a role with CCG?" And I was like, "Oh, no, I'm just a very new GP." And she was like, "Don't worry. Before you know it, you will be sitting at the CCG or ICB or whatever that was called then." And I thought, absolutely not. How can that happen? I don't know anyone. So that's what happens, is that once you're in, then other doors open and you see other opportunities, as we were talking about earlier. So I've learned now to be very protective of the family time for my friends, for my own well-being. So I think that's the downside of it, is that it can encroach on your personal space sometimes. But as I said before, that it is, I find it quite rewarding. So I think we're okay.
I think it certainly comes through with you speaking that it's clearly something that really enthuses you. We've heard a lot about some of the advice that you would give so far, you know, special interest groups, look into your network, you know, one day essentials. Have you got any other advice specifically that people should look into, or networks, conferences, anywhere else people should be looking if they want to develop this interest?
If you join the special interest group, a lot of opportunities are advertised within the group. For example, there's a group, this is called, I think, Stuart and Victoria Project for palliative care for people with learning disabilities. Or so there are lots of very niche conferences and webinars which are being run all the time. Once you start looking into it, you'll find that there's a, for example, someone with learning disability and autism, or the neurodivergence within the learning disability community. So there are lots of little things which are happening all over. So once you join a group, that's what my advice would be. It will help you look into other areas within learning disabilities, because it really encompasses all aspects. You can't really make it siloed into one, oh, this is just for learning disability. No, it comes across. If you're talking about vaccination uptake, you're talking about cancer screening, it can come under that. I already mentioned palliative care. It comes under that. So there's a lot.
It's one of those things, isn't it? You open the box and you realise, you know, that there's so many different opportunities, but also important areas where GPs with a greater interest in learning disabilities can be really valuable to understand their insights. That's been hugely educational for me, Aisha, today. I've learned lots about the different threads of what you do and how to get interested and started down learning disabilities interest. We're asking people to end on a highlight or best moment of their GP special interest career. What would you say is yours?
This year has been amazing for me because of there's been a lot of acknowledgement for our work. So it started earlier this year because RCGP Midland faculty, I was awarded a Teaching Excellence Award with another colleague for that module which we developed and some of the sessions which we held. Also, we got the Martin Wilkinson Award. I'll show you. Martin Wilkinson
amazing.
Award. That was for innovation. And then even more amazingly, we were shortlisted for that Inspire Awards by the RCGP. And we didn't win it, but we were mentioned as highly commended, and that was another amazing bit of award which we got from the RCGP. So that's been amazing to have your work acknowledged this way, and for me personally, it's not just the acknowledgement; it's because that makes people notice this. Oh, what are they doing? They're working on learning disability. And I think there are lots of areas in the country which are actually doing something similar, like us, learning disability friendly practice, or some iteration of it. And that's what I would like best, that the more people talk about it, more awareness there is, they can be more joined up thinking then.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it looks like your trophy cabinet is developing nicely, but a really nice point there around if you're doing something great, share news of it, apply for awards and get acknowledgement, because it's a great way of spreading awareness, but also a sense of satisfaction that people are recognising the hard work that you're putting in. So massive congratulations. And I certainly feel inspired. So thank you very much for giving up your time today. And I'm sure others will be sat there thinking, I wonder whether I could do that, because you've got a really nice sort of iterative journey of how you've built your interest, having come from a background, as you say, of wanting to do minor surgery. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so nice talking to you.
We hope that this careers podcast has motivated and inspired you to explore the variety of career options available as a GP. Speak to your appraiser, your local training program directors, or perhaps join our RCGP mentoring program for further support to diversify your career. Thanks for listening, and good luck.
The GP Plus Careers Podcast.